People came from all around, and all the girls from there to Austin were slipping away from home and putting jewelry in pocket to take the trip.
Hour three, RBKD. We got Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn. John Reichel spinning some country music. It is a Country Music Friday, taking you all the way up until 6:30 for the Friday Flex. You got Rod's Rant coming up next segment. Got another off the record, little off the record two for you, and then we'll really set up the weekend at 6 o'clock. Probably talk a lot of pro games at six. We're talking college games right now because it is time for Beat the Pluck with one of the owners of Pluckers, Dave Paul. Get to pluckers.com. You can find out a location near you, seven in the Austin area. So if you're looking to watch the Stros and see if they can, there it is, see if they can clinch tonight, you can get to pluckers.com. They've got them in Houston, also in Dallas. Let's get to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and welcome on the aforementioned Dave Paul. Dave, how you feeling after just kicking the crap out of me last week?
Well, it's okay. You're still in the lead. We'll figure it out in the next few weeks. We're good.
Yeah, we will. We had four different picks last week, and Dave nailed all of them. He went essentially 4-0 against me, so I had that in week one with him, and he returned the favor last week. It's been really competitive. This is week number eight of Beat the Pluck, and I am up 4-3, so Dave is trying to tie that right now. If you want to get involved with Beat the Pluck, all you got to do is get to hornfm.com. You can sign up for free. We'll be watching the Baylor game at 11 a.m. Not sure which Pluckers we're going to be at yet, but it's a good chance for you to come out. Just enjoy the atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. We play Texas Fight after scores and also get some free food and some free beer as well. Let's get to it. Not the strongest week really in college or the NFL, but we've got some intriguing games, some intriguing lines, too. We'll start with Wisconsin at Purdue. Wisconsin's at Purdue, and Wisconsin is a 3.5-point favorite. I don't like this Wisconsin team, Dave. The defense is really good. The offense is putrid. It's awful. I don't like Graham Mertz. I just, Purdue's coming off, obviously, a really big win. I think they've got one of the best receivers in the country. I am going to go with Purdue on this. In fact, I kind of get the sense Purdue may win this outright. I guess Vegas knows something, but I'm going to take the Boilermakers. 3.5-point favorite for Wisconsin. What are you doing? Dave?
Ooh.
Oh.
Man, I lost.
All right, I guess I win. So I'm up 5-3. We got free wings, free beer. All right, we got them back. Dave, I'm taking Purdue and was in the Wisconsin game. Wisconsin favored by 3.5. What are you going to do?
I like Purdue all year. The problem is I think this line seems fishy, and Purdue's played great. I think come off a big win. I don't really have any reason behind it, except I think Wisconsin, like Vegas knows, and 3.5 is too much for me. I like Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah, you know, I kind of did the same thing. I was trying to go through in my head. They've got a great defense. They've got the number two total defense in the country behind your Georgia Bulldogs. And Purdue doesn't run. They do throw pretty well. David Bell is that receiver I was talking about. But I was kind of thinking along the lines with you that we're missing something here. Rob, what are you going to do? Purdue, a 3.5-point dog.
Yeah. That Wisconsin offense –
it's bad.
It's bad. You
their
told me
defense
how bad
is
it was,
great.
But the defense is good. Yeah, I'll go with Purdue.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll go with Purdue.
Go with Purdue. So yeah. You're with me on that. This is Beat the Pluck, and now we'll get to Nevada at Fresno State. Nevada, it's been interesting, actually, this whole league has been this year, and this one's going to mean a lot. San Diego State is looking fantastic. You nailed Air Force last week. We're going to get to that San Diego State-Air Force game coming up here in a little bit. But Nevada at Fresno State. Fresno State, a 3.5-point favorite. What are you going to do? All right. You're having some issues here.
Wow. Okay. That's board is must be...
Is it the board, John, or are we just is Dave?
Technical.
It's a Dave thing. Okay. Let's see if we can maybe get Dave back on there. Rod, I'll go to you up here next. What should I do with this? Nevada at Fresno State. Fresno State, 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah. Fresno State. I'll go Fresno State, actually. Nevada started out strong because everybody was excited about Carson Strong.
Yep.
And how well he was playing. I don't know what happened to that little buzz they had going there, but... Fresno. I'll take Fresno State. I don't know if Fresno State can score. That's what I know about Fresno State.
Yeah. All right, so Dave had some bad reception here. Hopefully we can get this figured out. So you're going to go Fresno State. Dave, what are you going to do? Fresno State, 3.5-point favorite.
No, I like Nevada in this for sure. I think they're playing well. I think Fresno State's has had a good season, but I think Nevada is definitely due for. I like the 4 points. I think Nevada covers this game.
Yeah, and Nevada may lose this game. I think it's going to be at around that spot though. So I'm going to take Nevada as well. I think Rod brought up some good points with Carson Strong, and he's definitely the front runner for Mountain West Player of the Year. He's been fantastic. Could be a first round pick. Fresno State has had their own issues at times. I think this turns into a shootout, and I think you're going to see Fresno State after that Wyoming game, I believe, see their offense bounce back a little bit. But is it going to be enough to cover that? So I think it's going to be a shootout. I'm with you. I will take Nevada. All right, let's get to Clemson at Pitt. Man, how things have changed. Who would have thought that DJ Uiagalelei would not be the guy that we're talking about as a Heisman contender when Clemson and Pitt play in late October? Instead, it's Kenny Pickett. And look, Clemson's offense, I've been all over Clemson and have been pretty right about them early on in the year. I knew this defense was going to be really damn good. I also knew that the offense was going to have some serious issues. This is a tough one for me, especially because of the hook. So I think Pitt wins this game. I don't feel overly confident with it, but I've been betting against Clemson all year long. So I'm going to take Kenny Pickett and this Pitt team to cover 3.5. What are you going to do?
I'm with you. I think you take the names off the jerseys, and Pitt's just the better team. Like, I don't know about Clemson over this year, but they don't seem to have any offense. It's hard to pick any team, even a 3.5 with the hook, like, that can't score. So I think if Pitt gets 24, they probably cover the game.
Playing Beat the Pluck here with Dave Paul, one of the owners of Pluckers. Get to Pluckers.com. They have the best wings in town. Spicy lemon pepper for Rod. They've actually added some new stuff too, some dry rubs. So yeah,
New flavors.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, all it's doing is confusing
me now. I always get the same thing though.
I know.
You know what? I'm gonna mix it up. I never look at the menu anymore.
I don't think anybody does. Yeah.
You always know what you're gonna get. So
well,
I didn't look at it
because I've got some new flavors.
I will look at it.
What are you doing, Clemson and Pitt here? We're both taking Pitt.
No, you guys, you've convinced me. And Dave said it too.
On the jersey. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, he said it, and I think he's right. We keep going back to Clemson because of what we know them to be the last few years, but this team is different. Hopefully they're not about to hit the precipitous drop like Texas did, but there's some similarities to me with the way that, you know, that they're looking this year. So
right.
I'm with you. I think Pitt is just a better football team. May not have more talent, but sometimes, as we know here in Texas, talent is not the end-all be-all.
Yeah, that's the question with Clemson. Is this 2010?
I hope not for them. I hope not for their sake.
I hope not for Cade Klubnik.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Oh, I have been thinking about that. let's get back to it here. Utah at Oregon State. Utah is a 3-point favorite going to Corvallis. Corvallis can get weird. Utah has been Cameron Rising, former Texas player. He's been good. He's been really efficient. His yards per attempt are nothing. I mean, it's been very short throws, but he's been accurate. Dave, what are you doing? Utah at Oregon State. Utah 3-point favorite.
Utah is 10 points better than Oregon State, and I think they cover this game easily.
I'm totally with you. Dave's on it. I was hoping Dave would go with Oregon State, but Dave watches too much college football to do that. I'm with you. I think they win this thing by 2 touchdowns, and it's been a really solid team. It's been fun to watch Cameron Rising. It took over for Charlie Brewer, and they've kind of gotten their S together. Rod, you with us? You going with the Utes?
Yeah, I'm going with the Utes. I'm with you. The Utes.
Have you seen Rising yet?
No, I have not actually seen him.
Dude,
no.
I'm telling you, it was all 5 and 6 yard passes to tight ends. I mean, it was these quick little outs and little button hooks, and he was putting a frozen rope on the money, but they really weren't going downfield. I wonder if they kind of add to that a little bit as they're getting him more comfortable.
It makes him easy to defend, though. I wonder about that.
It does, and that was one of the reasons I looked at Oregon State, but Dave's right. Utah is just a better football team. All right, so last three, we're all on the same page here. Let's get to San Diego State at Air Force. I got to give you a lot of love. You nailed everything last week, including Air Force. You were all over that. You were like, look, Air Force is the better team, and I should have listened to you. Not that it would have made a difference because you kicked my butt so bad. But you got Air Force, San Diego State. This should be a really, really fun matchup. Both teams have to run to win. We know that. I think both teams are going to have problems trying to run. Air Force is fantastic at running the football, but San Diego State has been pretty good. It's number one against the run. And so this is really strength on strength. I hate to do it because I was wrong about them last week. I'm going to take San Diego State in this thing. I think San Diego State may lose, but the three is a little bit too much for me. What do you think, Dave?
I think the threes are on the number. Like, Air Force's defense is one of the top 20 defenses in the country. They practice against the triple option all the time. They're used to defending the run. It's hard to – I think this game lands at three, so I'm going to take Air Force, even though I think it's – I don't even know which way it's going to go. But I like Air Force. If you got to flip a coin, I think Air Force is the better team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they nailed this line, and I'm with you. I think Air Force is the better team, and it's stupid at three to say, well, they're going to win by one or two. I think it's going to be a toss-up game, so that's where we're going to be separated there. Rod, what are you doing here?
I like that Air Force pick.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I like the Air Force pick.
Okay. Sorry. No, I think it's probably the right pick. This is probably the second best game, maybe the best game of the week, outside, at least in the Power Five. Got Oregon at UCLA. Oregon, their top running back, is out for the year. We know that they started off red hot and they were the talk of the town, but so was UCLA. UCLA surprised a lot of people. Oregon comes in at 5-1. UCLA is 5-2. UCLA started out, I think, a 2.5-point favorite. The public money has been a little bit on Oregon because that's down to one. What are you doing with the Bruins favored by one at home against the Ducks?
I like Chip Kelly. I think he is the better coach. I think Oregon is the better team, and I'm surprised it's only 1 point. I think that they, at the end of the day, end up winning this game by probably a touchdown.
Okay. Yep. This is a tough one. Was kind of back and forth, and I got to make just kind of a nut cutting call here. I'm going to go with Oregon because I do think Oregon is the better team, and Chip Kelly has turned this thing around, Rod, but I'm going to go with the Ducks on this. What about you?
I'm with you. I'm going with the Ducks, too. And, I'm a big Chip Kelly fan. I like what Chip Kelly's doing there.
You've been all over Chip for a long time.
Chip's a hell of a coach, too, but I think that Oregon's going to win the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
That's what I'm concerned about with UCLA.
All right. I can see that. Hey, it's Beat the Pluck here with Dave Paul, one of the owners of Pluckers. Get to Pluckers.com. They have the best wings in town. It's the best sports bar. It'd be a great place to go tonight. So if you're listening in Houston and Dallas and Austin to watch the Astros try and clinch this thing. Yes, there are going to be a lot of Astros fans there. And obviously for college football and NFL action this weekend, get to Pluckers.com. Find a location near you. You can also order online if you want to do that and download the Pluckers Club app. That way you can virtually save your place in line. That's a really, really cool addition that Dave and the crew added there. And as Pluckers people have told me, huge Pluckers fans have said that is a game changer. So you can download that. All right, let's get back to it here. USC at Notre Dame. I think if you're looking at the top programs of all time, this is the best rivalry of all time. It didn't have the feel as some of the other rivalry games. I think a lot of that has to do with the fan bases, but you're talking about two of the top four programs in college football history. This meant a lot when there wasn't a lot of cross-pollinization with national games. You had Notre Dame taking the train out to USC. This one will be in South Bend. Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite. And this is where you've talked about it with Georgia, Dave. Sometimes you can get a little bit too close to your team. This is probably close. I just got so many questions about the Notre Dame offensive line. USC's defensive front hasn't been that good this year. I think their offense is starting to get it going a little bit. I'm going to take Notre Dame to win this. I'm going to take USC to cover. I don't trust this Notre Dame team to cover 7. What are you doing?
I think Notre Dame played well against Virginia Tech and end up winning the game, and USC got hammered by Utah. I don't trust USC. I don't trust them without a coach. I agree with you on the offensive line part, but I think Notre Dame ends up winning this game by 10 points.
All right. What are you doing here? Am I being a, like Chad Hastings, a self-loathing Cowboys fan, but a self-loathing Notre Dame fan, too caught up in the offensive line? Because Dave's right. USC got their doors blown off.
Yeah, I think 10 is the number. What's the number?
7.
7.
Dave thinks they're going to win by 10.
I'll take Notre Dame.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Irish.
Yeah, just because USC is in a bit of a
fuster cluck
right now. But sometimes it's when teams play good ball.
Yeah.
After they fired, the coach moves on and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see.
All right. Let's finish it off here with the game of the week. Like we said, not the best week in college football, but this one should be fun. You got Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Oklahoma State is a top 10 team coming off the win here against Texas. They're not overly pretty, but, man, they're just a good, solid football team. They play defense. They get off the field on third down, and they run the football on offense. With all that said, Iowa State, a 7-point favorite. Hmm. That line started there, Dave, on Sunday or Monday, and it stayed there. What are you going to do with this?
I think it's blasphemous. I mean, Oklahoma State's a good team. They know how to play well to any style. I think they have a good defense. And 7 points is way too rich. Like, this is the one game of all the games that I would say if I was to put my own money on the game, I would pick Oklahoma State for sure.
Yeah, I'm taking Iowa State to win this game. 7 is too much. It's just too much with Brock Purdy. Do I like Brock Purdy more than I like Spencer Sanders? Yes, I do. And I think that Oklahoma State, with their one-dimensional offense, they're going to face a defense that's pretty good. I mean, you get into Iowa State, this is a top-5 defense, Rod, in the country. Yeah. But I don't see them blowing anyone out, and I don't see them blowing out this Oklahoma State team. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. This could be a 27-24 type game. I'm not laying 7.
No, I'm with you. I think that number's ridiculous. I think we're all in agreement on that one, especially after watching Oklahoma State and do what they did to Texas. I think that both of these defenses are really good. Probably, I could argue, the two best defenses in the Big 12.
I think they are.
Yeah, I don't trust either quarterback that much, but I will say that Oklahoma State has not faced a defense as good as Iowa State. I think that'll be the biggest factor.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State's offense is really rudimentary. I mean, it is. As you saw, they run the ball on third and long.
Right.
Because they don't trust Spencer Sanders.
Yeah.
I think John Heacock will force Spencer Sanders to beat him. And I don't trust Spencer Sanders.
All right, that's Beat the Pluck. Get to hornfm.com to sign up for it. And we'll be at the South Lamar location, I'm getting word, next Saturday, 11 a.m. for Baylor. Get to hornfm.com to sign up for that. Dave, I know you're just a big Georgia guy in general. You're a big Braves fan, I believe. We got to get you and Rod to bet if you guys end up both getting there. I know you still have some, you got 27 outs to get there. How are you feeling about your Braves?
I just spent $2,500 to take my mom and my daughter to Atlanta next weekend.
Okay.
So I'm used to a lot of pain. I'm a Georgia fan. I'm a Braves fan. I'm a Falcons fan. But if they make the World Series, I will be there. So I figure we got two shots at it, and I'm excited to try and be in Atlanta to see what happens.
Nice. All right, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Paul.
They really have new flavors at Pluckers?
Yeah, they do.
I'm serious. I've been thinking about that.
They do.
Because who looks at the menu at Pluckers?
It's like
chili lime dry rub,
I think.
I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to Dave when I said that. I go there much.
Dave understands that.
I always get the same thing.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a compliment.
Yeah, everybody knows. But
I wouldn't take that as a dig if I went to a restaurant and someone said, I don't look at the menu. One, that means you go there a lot.
That means I go there all the damn time.
And that means you found something that you were just in love with.
Spicy lemon pepper. Yeah.
Fried, it is good. It's really damn good.
Hard and wet. That's why I like it.
That's disgusting.
No, fried hard, extra wet with the sauce.
I know.
Okay, see, get your mind out of the gutter.
No, you get your mind out of the gutter.
Matter of fact, let's get your mind in the right place with my friends at MyBookie, because the right place is making lots of cash. And when it comes to gambling, you want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. That's why you should bet with MyBookie. At MyBookie, you can bet on all your favorite sports, your favorite teams, with exclusive promotions, contests, and other things to help you make the perfect bet. They got all types of tools and resources to help you make you more informed and more knowledgeable, better, period. How about this? They're also offering you a chance to make money before you even place a bet with MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag, use my promo code HORN, and they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000. That is fast money. It's pretty easy. All you got to do is go to MyBookie.ag, use my promo code HORN, and they'll double your first deposit up to $1,000. You can use that extra money to bet on the biggest games of the NFL the weekend, including the Chiefs and the Titans, where the airmail offense will take on smash mouth football. So remember, you can bet the over on that one, because I think the both of those defenses are going to be suffering a little bit. I don't know how Kansas City is going to stop Derrick Henry. And on the flip side, with the secondary banged up for Tennessee, I don't know how they're going to stop the Kansas City Chiefs offense. So I would bet the over on that one. And when you do, go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code HORN, and they're going to get your double deposit bonus today. That's the promo code HORN to double your funds, double your winnings, and double your cash. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, right now at mybookie. All right, let's get to my rant of the day. I went back and did a rewatch of the Oklahoma game. I wanted to see if my theory that I came up with about Sark and him using less cheat codes in the Oklahoma State game, which is true, he used less cheat codes in the Oklahoma State game. And I brought this theory up on Longhorn Blitz. I brought it up earlier this week on Raj Rant of the Day. But this time I studied the Oklahoma game. So I'll combine those stats, and I found some troubling trends about the play calling efforts of Sark in the second half. We'll get to that and more in Raj Rant of the Day on the other side. This is RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. So I've been trying to do my best to figure out a remedy to Texas's second half offensive woes. They seem to hit a lull, as we all know, in the second half, the last two games, and that offensive ineptitude, right? That when the offense stalls in the second half, it has had a dramatic effect on the overall team psychology, and you could argue that that's the biggest reason they lost both of the games back to back, and they've had late game collapses, right? Double digit leads back to back. I'd put it less on the defense in the Oklahoma State game, but the defense still allowed them to rush for 140 yards in the fourth quarter. So I get it. Gave up a lot. But in the Oklahoma game, defense allowed 25 points in the fourth quarter. That's a lot. And they got, I mean, when you score the offense, when the offense scores, what, 48 points, that should be enough to win.
Yes.
But when the defense holds their opponent to 25 total points, without the count the pick six, because that's on the offense, that's enough for the offense to be able to pull their weight. You should be able to win that game. So that's the complimentary football Sark's talking about. But sticking with the offense, right? So my theory, my hypothesis about how Sark can spark the offense or even avoid those stalls that he's having in late in those stretches late in the game in the second half is to essentially do more of what you're good at, right? Sark has inundated his entire offense with these little force multipliers. I call them cheat codes, but they're just force multipliers. They're bunch formations. They're pre-snap motions and shifts. Play action pass is one of those. All things that give your personnel an advantage. You can call them advantage multipliers if you want to. But these little things, he compounds them, right? Almost weaves them naturally into his offense. And there's so many of them. You go watch some of his plays, and they'll have a shift and a motion on the same play. Like, he'll shift the back and motion the wide receiver across. I mean, he's just
a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them, right? He is just trying to overload, all right, your brain with all these different stimuli to process. That's what he's trying to do. And he does a really good job of that. That's one of his X-Man abilities as a play caller, really as a play designer, I should say. But what I noticed just in the eye test was in the Oklahoma State game, I was like, man, it seems like when late in the game, in the second half, either they're using less cheat codes, and that is leading to the offense stalling, or the offense is stalling because Sark is using less cheat codes. Chicken or the egg. I ain't that smart, right? But when I went back and tracked the game, the data backed it up, right? Sark was in the game against Oklahoma State, used pre-snap motion 76% of the time, but that number dropped to 54% in the second half, dropped to 41% on the last six drives of the game where they went three and out four times and they threw the pick and then the turnover on downs. Same thing with bunch formation. They had 27% bunch formation in the first half, but in the last at least throughout the game, I should say. But in the last 17 plays, those last six drives, he drops to 17%. And then I'm going to start tracking, you know, personnel groupings that have been really successful, formations that have been really successful. The two-back sets, as you know, I've been talking about that for a while. They ran 9 plays with two backs in the backfield, by the way, averaging almost 7 yards per play this season when they used two backs. But they only used 2 plays with 2-back sets in the second half of that game versus Oklahoma State. Considering that's one of your deepest positions and considering you're averaging almost 7 yards per play out of that formation, you probably should use it more, not less, when your offense is stalling. Empty formation. Texas is averaging over 10 yards per play out of empty formation this year. They ran 4 plays out of empty versus Oklahoma State, only 1 in the second half. As a matter of fact, the only deep ball they completed, 58 yards to Marcus Washington, out of empty. So thinking like this, so I am right, right? He's using less cheat codes, less force multipliers late in the game. Why? I have no idea. All right, you'd think he would use more, not less. So I say, well, let me see if this actually tracks to the Oklahoma game too. So I went back and added up the data, compiled the data together, and with the first half and the second half of the Oklahoma game. So the first half of the Oklahoma game, I looked at pre-snap motion, and I looked at the first half of the Oklahoma State game and combined those numbers and Sark pre-snap motion in the last 2 games. In the first half against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, using pre-snap motion 80% of the time. The second half drops to 56%.
Wow. Why is that?
It's in the second half of the Oklahoma and Oklahoma State game.
You would think that he's doing that for a reason. Well, it's eye candy, but
his opening script, he's literally building the plays and compiling them at home or whatever he's doing, like with the coaches. And during the game, though, once the adjustments start, he changes.
Yeah.
Whether he knows it or not, he's using less cheat codes once his opponents adjust. Now, I don't know. When you should be using more.
More.
You should be increasing the amount.
If anything, that should be flipped.
That should be flipped, right? Exactly right. If you're going to use 80 in the first half, use 80 in the second half, too.
Yeah.
Just as much. The bunch formation.
Especially if you're scoring in the first half.
I mean, your
adjustments are not on the other side, which they've been there. Grinch and Knowles have done that.
No doubt. They've done adjustments. But some of these things are, and this, the reason I look at these certain concepts in personnel packages formations, because some of these things are staples of the Sark offense. They shouldn't change. You know, your play action pass rate with Sark shouldn't change that often, but he's using less play action pass in the second half, right? He's using less compressed and condensed formations in the second half. Go look at bunch formations. In the first half against Oklahoma State, use bunch formations 29% of the time. That number drops to 16% in the second half versus Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Make of it what you will, I'm just giving you the numbers. I mean, so that's like a third of your pass, third of your plays had bunch formation in the first half, and then that number drops to 16% in the second half. And then I went and looked at, and it tracks, right? He's using less two-back sets in the second half as opposed to the first half, and they're averaging almost 7 yards per play out of two-back sets, which is more than they average as an offense. Less empty formation in the second half than in the first, and they average 10 yards per play out of empty formation. So probably should use more of that. Less condensed formations and compressed sets in the second half than in the first half. I can probably track some more, but, I mean, those are pretty astounding, and they do tell me that in the last 2 games, that has shifted, and it's been he's basically dialing down the force multipliers and cheat codes in the second half. Like I said, and I don't know if the offense is stalling because he's dialing down the cheat codes, mm-hmm, or if he's dialing down the cheat codes, because therefore the offense is stalling.
Yeah.
And so I don't know which one it
chicken
is.
Chicken or egg there.
But I'm telling you, exactly. The numbers don't lie. Numbers are what they are. And whether he wants to admit it or not, Sark, you're different in the second half. You're different. You're different. Your players may be different too, but you are also different.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers say you are different. My eye test told me your plays are different. I've been studying you. I've been watching you. I'm obsessed with you. All right? Your plays are different. Sorry. Your play calling is different. You got to fix that.
Yeah.
And more cheat codes, not less.
And if you're, I don't want to say being exposed, but whatever wrinkle or game plan you had, if they're making adjustments, that's when actually you need the better Sark.
Yeah. Or you should be anticipating their adjustments and then setting them up.
Yeah.
Which is what I talked about planting the Easter eggs, right? Plant the seed earlier. You can reap that later on in the game. I don't think he's setting his opponents enough. They're going to be adjusting to your pre-snap motions and your bunch formation, your condensed sets, adjusting to all this stuff. Okay, great. Anticipate the adjustment. build the counter.
Is there any reason with the adjustments that you're not seeing the shifts and motions? Or do you think he's just kind of falling off?
I think it's him. I mean, it doesn't make much sense why, you know, your opponent adjusting would force you to change your DNA.
Right.
Right. Your motions and shift is part of his DNA. That's why he loves it. Why would you change that?
And we're not saying run the same plays you're running in the first half that they've adjusted to, but you still use shifts and motions. And like you said, you can even set stuff up with that.
Yeah. So he's changing. Whether he wants to admit it or not, I'm giving you the data. He's changing.
No.
He's different. He's different.
The data is...
The data don't lie, man.
And it also, anytime your eyeball and data matches up, that's when you know we've got
something.
Amen.
That's
so
what,
we
yeah.
do a sports talk
totally
show,
agree.
And a lot of it's going to be opinions. And hell, with the games we're picking this week, we could be dead off. There's a lot of kind of... vague.
Exactly right.
We don't really know how it's going to go. Anytime your eyeball and the data matches up, you got something.
Yep. I think we got something. But I think Sark can fix it. I think this is something you can fix in a bye week.
Yeah, he can absolutely fix it. Because it's actually the structure of his offense.
It is. It's just...
actually getting away from what you do. Just be you.
Just be you. I just get back to being more of yourself is basically what you want.
Interesting stuff, man. Really interesting stuff. All right, a little off the record coming up next. Really, really sad story with Alec Baldwin, and we'll get into that a little bit and kind of where they go from here with that. Off the record, coming up next.
Welcome back to RBKD, a Country Music Friday edition of RBKD, and it's actually another edition of Off the Record. This is a very sad story. I think everybody has heard the story by now, and
this
I still don't
awful.
Know how this kind of mix-up happens, but a film crew member of a movie that Alec Baldwin was in called Rust died after Alec Baldwin discharged a prop firearm on the set that ended up being a loaded gun. It was loaded with actual ammunition, not... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously just incredibly tragic and awful.
How does that happen?
So this is... this is why...
You've been around Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that separated? The prop gun? Do they have real guns on set?
I think they've got... Yeah, they have real guns, but they've got
For what purpose?
Because they want it to look real.
What the hell? The prop guns are real. Don't they just use basically like the ammunition without a bullet in it?
I I've never been on the set of the movie. I did some onion stuff, but we never had guns. I had looked into this, and I didn't want to look. We got one more segment after this. I didn't want to bring this up to be a downer for the show, but I did want to get into the conversation because obviously it's incredibly tragic.
It's so sad.
The more I looked at this, Rod, and looked at some reports, this has happened more than we probably think.
Oh, yeah.
In the 80s, it happened all the time.
Bruce Lee's son.
Brandon Lee.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And that was really tragic.
Yeah.
But this has happened probably more than we think. And yeah, you're going to have a stunt either coordinator or prop coordinator, and they check that. They obviously check that beforehand. But this just can't happen. I mean, a woman lost her life, and now you've got a husband and a kid that are sitting there and thinking, what the hell happened to mom, my wife? I mean, this was really tragic. I'm with you. Can we just go with fake guns?
Yeah, I did not
even
know.
Even if you see it and you go, hey, that's not a real gun. Okay, that's all right.
I didn't know that. I thought, I actually didn't know that. I thought they had real guns, but with blanks in them.
Yes, but
that's what I thought was like the whole thing.
But
blank can still hurt you. I guess if you're too close to the gun with the
Brandon Lee
the
was that situation.
It was
yeah.
a blank.
It was a blank gun,
and it was still,
he,
the discharge was too close to his
it was
head.
Enough to kill him.
You can still get her, but then you won't have a bullet. This woman, her name is Helena Hutchins.
Yes,
director of photography, 42, transported to the hospital and pronounced dead when she got there. That's
right.
A bullet, and then the director was hit too.
So that was my question: how did the director also get injured?
Were there multiple shots?
I'm assuming he probably fired the gun multiple times.
Okay.
Wow.
Before realizing what happened, he probably went bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
Here's my other thing, though. If she's not an actress, why? And look, I'm definitely not trying to say that there's any culpability with Alec Baldwin. I mean, I don't think Alec Baldwin was
apparently he was inconsolable.
He sent out a tweet today and just said this is beyond awful. And
it's horrible.
Obviously reached out to the kid and the husband. But Well, like, why was it ever even being aimed at her? That's more my question.
I'm with you on that. I think that's that could be learned from this.
You would think that an actor that was going to, you know, or if you're going to test it out, I don't know, against air?
Well, it's like it should be multiple levels of safety here, right? Not only that.
I would love to get your brother's take on this.
Yeah, somebody should be checking the gun to make sure that it is that you have your blanks and you actual ammunition. My point is, why would you ever need real ammunition? But you should have somebody there that's actually separated. So it should be in really different colored suitcases, separated by, you know, hundreds of yards. Like, okay, go get the real ammunition, the fake, that kind of stuff. It shouldn't ever be close. And two separate people working it. Like, hey, I got the live ammunition. I got the blanks. And also,
and this is my parachute. I want you to check it four times.
Agreed.
Maybe
agreed.
Six.
Yep, let's check it
maybe
multiple
eight.
Times. Have that protocol in play. We check it multiple times.
More than three.
Yes, more than three. And then with you, when we are filming, you're shooting a gun, unless you are acting in the scene, the trajectory of the bullet or wherever the gun, nobody should be it within 50 or 100 yards of where the gun, the pathway being discharged.
Totally with you.
Like, you know what I mean? Because that's how the director got hit.
Yeah, so I have a few, like, old classmates that have worked in Hollywood in various degrees, and I can tell you that a lot of what you were saying is in place.
Yeah.
So a lot went wrong for this to happen.
Okay.
So there are protocols and all sorts of stuff with prop management and labeling and all sorts of things. So not one person or one instance of mistake caused this to happen. This was a whole chain command of...
Okay. Yeah, it's a failure on multiple levels.
Multiple failures.
Five, six people didn't do their damn job.
And a woman lost her life. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, a lot of people are getting fired. A lot of people.
Yo, they should be. I mean,
lots of people won't be working again, probably, in that industry.
Some people need to be sued, fired. Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's bad, man. It's a horrific story. I saw it last night. It was like, what? How? Your first thought is, how does that happen?
Exactly.
Like, what? How does that happen?
But I was also with you. I mean, I remember the Brandon Lee thing.
Yeah.
And I saw some stuff today where in the 80s this happened. In the 80s, there were like 40 stuntmen that ended up dying.
And I imagine that's when the protocols that John's talking about probably got into place. They probably went to the unions and was like, all right, we got to get a protocol in place here.
We got to get this set up.
Man, that's really sad. It's
really, really sad. Yeah, so obviously our thoughts are with them. All right, let's finish off. I was about to say something we can't say there.
Don't do it.
Let's finish off on a good note here.
Yes.
And let's get to what's on tap for this weekend. We're going to get to the games we're most excited about, including in the NFL and college. This is RB Katie on the horn.
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking. And he said, boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday edition of RBKD. Where do I recognize this song from? What movie?
Is it Old Brother, We're Out
Though. Yeah, I was going to say Old Brother, We're Out Though. That makes sense. Yeah, that's why. You see that movie?
No.
George Clooney? Old Brother, We're Out Though
is it good?
Pretty damn good.
It's
yeah.
good.
What's it about?
Like they escape from prison.
Yeah,
I love those.
Three gentlemen escape from a chain gang, and they're trying to get back to this guy's hometown to get a treasure that he robbed a bank and he stored it. And then it's all the misadventures they have along the way.
That sounds like a movie.
Yeah,
to be
I
would right
say it's based
alley.
On like the Iliad.
Okay.
Yeah, the Odyssey. Hmm?
Is that was based on?
Yeah, it's about based off the Odyssey. Yeah.
But right, give me that you were doing that. Come on.
No.
Need some Rod B karaoke
need
here.
No, Rod B karaoke. No, you don't need that.
Hey, quickly, I want to tell you about Nathan Evaldi because he's gonna be pitching tonight.
Oh, that's right. From H-Town.
From H-Town.
I just found that out. He's gonna be pumped.
Guess what high school he went to? Think about one of the best pitchers, maybe the best pitcher in Astros history.
We talking about Roger Clemens?
That's
know.
A good one. That's a good one.
Well,
I was thinking Nolan.
Nolan is the greatest.
So, I mean, I don't know. Could be Roger.
No,
hell,
I don't know.
I mean,
Nolan's the GOAT.
Alvin High School. That's where Nathan went.
Oh, really?
And signed with Texas A&M, but was an 11th round pick. So I got every reason for him to get blown up tonight.
Nah, you're right about that. Yeah.
Ghost Rolls.
Ghost Rolls. Yeah. The Nolan Ryan Expressway.
Yeah.
Just to get to the crib.
Just to get to the
Gotta
crib.
Take the Nolan Ryan Expressway, baby. Yeah.
And that is cool that it's the expressway.
It is, but I think there's one in Dallas too. I think Nolan Ryan's got like a ton of expressways. He's got two or three expressways.
Well, because he may be the best pitcher in the Rangers history.
You might be right about that. That's crazy. Who's the, yeah, to be a GOAT in two different franchises history? I guess Tom Brady's going to be there. He's a vet.
Right.
He's the greatest Bucs quarterback already.
Well, and think about it, because the Bucs won despite the quarterback they had.
Oh, yeah.
It was Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson. Oh.
That team won a Super Bowl.
Wow. John Gruden. Who's canceled now?
Done.
Can't even bring him up no more.
You gone. John, did you dump that? He just mentioned John Gruden.
Hey, you know what they're going to do now? They're finally going to award that Super Bowl to Tony Dungy.
Oh!
Finally going to give it to Tony. Like, you know what, Tony? We thought it was yours anyway. You deserved it.
Well, that
the Raiders never changed the damn signals.
I was about to say, that and the signals.
They never changed the signals.
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
That's lazy.
And you
went
up against your former coach and never changed.
Who was that? Was Callahan the head coach for the Raiders?
I think you're right. I believe you're correct.
Because you would have been the OC. Callahan,
yeah. Was that Rich Gannon's MVP year? Or did he win MVP the year before?
I think it was that year.
It was that year, huh? He was killing it.
Man, Rich Gannon turned into the Rich Gannon that I thought of with the Vikings. Like, yeah. I didn't think Rich Gannon was that good. And he just turned it. He turned
the
into something
OC back
else.
There? Was it Callahan calling his own plays?
I think Callahan's calling his own plays.
And you know that. You know who was obsessed with Rich Gannon?
Who?
Bill Walsh.
Really?
Everybody wanted Rich Gannon to play DB when he came out of college because he was like a DB or something, right?
Okay.
When he came out, and then one of the people that really loved Rich Gannon coming out of college was Bill Walsh. He was
interesting.
A big fan.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I remember reading about that, and I was like, really? But Rich Gannon was a hell of an athlete coming out of college. Like, people didn't know that. He was, like, really good.
Man, one of the few white guys that are trying to get to play DB.
No, he was I'm telling you, he was a really good athlete. I'll look up that story and see where I saw it, but it was a really good story. Yeah. All right, let's get to, because we got one segment left in the show. Let's get down to business here. And I want to start getting to some of the games that we're most excited about this weekend. We talked in the first segment about some of the NFL games. I believe we got into Kansas City and Tennessee. Didn't talk much about Baltimore and Cincinnati. Some people are excited about this game.
They are. By the way, so we got to tell people who we picked for Kansas City, because remember, we left that open with Supreme Lending picks yesterday.
I believe we ended up picking Kansas City.
I think that's probably the right move.
I think it's going to end up being the right move, but man, how do they stop Derrick Henry? How do they stop Derrick Henry?
I don't know.
And by the way, they're leading the NFL right now in turnover rate. 22%
of Kansas City's drives
end in turnovers. Patrick Mahomes turns the ball over a lot. They fumble the ball a lot. They just have been playing sloppy football.
KC is favored by 4.5. So Vegas thinks they're winning.
Because they think they're going to be so desperate. There's no way they're going to fall.
Chiefs are 3-3.
Have they fallen to a losing record yet? They've always been at 500 and they win. So they haven't fallen below 500 yet.
I
don't think so. I want to say every time they get to 500, they win a game. Actually, they were
1-2.
They were 2-3 because they.
They were 1-2 and 2-3.
So they've had a losing record multiple times, being below 500. Okay. I don't know,
Lost at the Ravens, lost to the Chargers, beat the Eagles, lost to the Bills, and then just beat Washington.
Man, their defense is so bad. Against Washington.
They should have lost to the Browns in week one.
They should have. That was the first game. Against Washington was the first game where they didn't allow opponents to score more than 29. I mean, they've just been bad.
Oh my God, you're right.
No, they just haven't been really good. Yeah, they just haven't been good. So we'll see. That defense, though, I don't know how they stop. They're not going to stop Derrick Henry, so it's going to be a shootout.
It's going to be a shootout.
They're going to have to just score with
Tennessee. They just got to be cleaner offensively.
Yeah, man.
Which has been a problem for them. And like I said, they haven't figured Mahomes out, but I think the way to deal with him is the blueprints out. And so he can still go nuts on you, and he probably will. But they got to be cleaner. That's the main thing.
Man.
That's the main thing with them.
And I think they will be. But it's it's crazy. It's unbelievable that they're that sloppy on defense. So offensively, I think they still can score with anybody. And if you look at the stats, even though he's throwing more interceptions, Patrick Mahomes is not having a bad year. He's just throwing more interceptions than he usually throws.
Right.
He just doesn't throw that many interceptions.
And we always talk about it, life's all relative with expectations and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our expectations are so high for the guy.
Yeah. Oh, no,
They're sky high.
Sky high for that dude. Everybody still expects him to, be probably in the MVP discussion at the end of the year, potentially.
Tell you what, my expectations have turned sky high for one Lamar Jackson. I think that was the other game that you wanted to get to.
Man, well, I didn't want to talk about Lamar Jackson. I don't think the Bengals are going to keep this close. Some people believe.
Some people are picking him to win. Trey's picking him to win.
I think Trey just needs to separate himself in their picks. So he's picking the opposite of whatever they picked. Hopefully they
could
have make up some ground.
With separate himself, and I would have said bingo. Yeah, no, I think that's it.
But I'll give you these stats on Lamar Jackson.
They've got a bet. You know what their bet is? Where they got a
the Mohawk one?
Mohawk, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that they're in a bet with Zay, and I think if Zay ends up winning, then Chad and Trey have to both get a Mohawk.
Oh, that's fantastic! Come on, Zay. Come on, Zay.
That's a quality bet right there. I like that because Zay's killing them right now. Like,
yeah.
Mad. They're definitely getting the Mohawk. Trey actually said if he does really bad this week, he's just going to get the Mohawk anyway and get it out of the way.
Because he's <That's laughs> such a Trey move.
Yeah, that is a Trey move. Like, you know, I'm just going to get my 2 weeks of Mohawk and out the way. But how about these numbers for Lamar Jackson, man? Lamar Jackson has a 67.5% completion percentage, 8.7 yards per attempt, 9.9 average depth of target, and an 80% on-target throw rate, meaning that's on the money. All of those are his highest single-season marks of his career. So basically, he has never had a season like this as a passer. Even during his MVP season, he wasn't this skilled as a passer.
Yeah, I believe it. That's one of those where we talked about earlier. The eye matches the numbers.
Yep. And you know, how about this? You'll love this stat too. No quarterback in the NFL right now is better at completing passes over the middle of the field. Than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it? That is crazy. Like, he basically is leading. Next Gen Stat says he also leads the league in passes thrown to the intermediate middle of the field.
Okay. What? Do you have any numbers on him down the sideline and deep?
Yes, I do.
Because that has been a question.
Yeah, here you go. Okay, I gotcha. It says Lamar Jackson.
I love doing a show with Rod.
His improvement has come.
You got that? Yeah, I got it.
Completion percentage on deep throws up to 40%. And his yards per attempt on deep throws, 20 yards or more, 14.1. Pro Football Focus has Jackson producing big-time throws, valuable throws graded at the top of their scale on 34% of his passes, up from 25% last year. So on those 20 yards or more.
That's the difference.
He threw downfield more last year, but he completed less of them. So he completed 34% of his deep balls last year.
So he's being smarter and more accurate.
Boom. 11.2 yards per attempt on 20 yards or more 20 yards or more attempts last year, like on 20 plus short passes, I should say. 11.2 yards attempt. So now his yards per attempt, 14.1, and his completion percentage, instead of 34%, is now 40% on 20 plus yard throws downfield.
I may be missing so someone, right. But Lamar Jackson and Dak are my MVP guys right now.
Honestly, I'm with you. Yeah.
Would maybe throw Josh in there?
Josh Allen's in there, but I just seen Lamar Jackson and Dak put the teams on their back almost. I saw Josh Allen do it too.
Yeah.
But that, you're right. And right now, Kyler Murray, you got to throw him in there.
Kyler Murray too. I forgot about
that.
He's
in that conversation.
Yep. Well, hell, the only undefeated team.
Yeah. So, man, all the numbers back up, like you said, the eye test, that this is the best Lamar Jackson we've seen in the NFL, which is really scary because he won the MVP a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
This is the best he's played.
But even then, and we talked about it, and it's one of those that I like Lamar Jackson a lot. You try to be delicate with it, but I'm like, there's still, and also a lot of that was Greg Roman, what I know with Greg Roman.
That's right, and you were.
Same thing happened with Colin, man.
Yeah. Nope.
And they catch up to it, and then all of a sudden, we talk about adjustments, there's no answer. The answer for him was to become better down the field passer.
No, you're right about that.
And you mix that with his speed. There's never been a running quarterback, and you know I know my running quarterbacks, and I love them.
Nothing like him.
There's nothing like him.
No.
At the pro level.
Not even Michael Vick.
No, not even Vick.
I'm trying to think of the most. Randall Cunningham.
Cunningham was awesome. Cunningham didn't have that twitch.
No, not like him. No. And Cunningham, you could argue, is probably as good of an athlete as Lamar is, but Lamar has that, you like that quick twitch. That he goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. I don't even know if it takes him 2 seconds.
No, he's one of those guys. He'd be playing a skill position in the NFL if he wasn't quarterback.
Totally agree.
That's how twitchy he is.
Yeah, no doubt. He's really twitchy. So, it'd be crazy to think that he could win another MVP, but if he does, he's going to break the bank.
He is.
He's going to break the bank. Because he hadn't gotten his new deal yet. He's still waiting. I believe they haven't signed him to a new deal yet.
He's gotten the deal.
No, I want to say Josh Allen got the new deal, remember?
Allen got the deal.
Did Baker get paid yet? Well, it doesn't matter. Baker's not in that conversation. But I'm just talking about the young quarterbacks who've gotten deals and gotten paid. Patrick Mahomes, of course, got paid. Dak just got paid.
Yeah, he's still on his rookie deal.
I know.
Good call.
Ooh.
I'm surprised that they didn't up that at one point.
You know what? They should have did that. Because
no,
now they got to pay. Now they want to pay even more.
Kidding me?
He's about to have a better season than his MVP year. But if he wins another MVP, he might end up being the highest paid quarterback in the league. He might get Mahomes type numbers. I know that sounds crazy, but two MVPs?
The other thing too is for a guy who's been in the league as long as he has, he left college really at a young age.
Yeah.
He's 24.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't realize he was that young. Actually.
I mean, I would guess he's 26, right?
I was going to say 26 because I think Deshaun Watson is like 26, so I was guessing that. Damn.
He's 24.
He's 24?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either.
So Joe Burrow's older than he is.
Yeah. Yes. That's crazy.
That is
And he's
nuts.
Got the experience. And the main thing with Lamar
wow.
is these guys have been able to play to 40. Obviously, at some point in his 30s, his twitch is, he's still going to be athletic, but his twitch is not going to be what it is right now. So he's got to get that other part of playing quarterback down.
That's why this season is so important. Now you're watching him, as you pointed out, throw the ball 20 yards or more down the field. He's working in the middle of the field. By the way, folks, those are the hardest throws in the NFL, those middle of the field throws, the intermediate from 8 to 30 yards down the field in the middle of the field.
Is that because all the traffic and the levels?
So much traffic, man, so much going on. NFL coaches will tell you, like, man, we really only like our seasoned veterans throwing there. And he does it with ease. And he did that in college, too, actually. So that's what he's got to evolve, because one day, just like the 30-year-old stripper, you know, you got to find a new line of work. You got to make it work a different way, because you're going to lose those natural assets sooner rather than later. And he won't be twitchy like that forever. It just ain't going to work.
I tell you, any of you 30-year-old strippers, just slide into my DMs.
There's still some 30-year-old strippers, but you're an old stripper at 30.
Yeah, you are.
You're like an old runner. You're like 30-year-old running back. You're old.
It's
sorry.
Like a 30-year-old tennis player back in the day. So we're taking the Ravens. They're favored by 6.5. Hey, it has been fun watching Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. How crazy was that? He couldn't catch a cold in the preseason. He can't drop anything now.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what was going on with that in the preseason. That was just strange. He had this kind of psychological block.
Right.
Because he was just dropping pass. I'm talking about routine easy hitches
stuff.
And slants.
He's catching everything.
But now he's balling. Yeah, him and Joe Burrow got great chemistry. That's what they thought when they drafted. It's like,
we just want
these guys
pick,
to pick up where they left off. And it was a good pick. I mean, we thought they should have drafted an offensive lineman because to protect Joe Burrow. But hell, man, Joe Burrow getting the ball out of his hands quick also protects him.
I'll give him some love.
To throw to.
Quickly, Texans at the Cardinals. Arizona favored by 18. Would you lay the money on Arizona?
Arizona's going to beat them by 18 or more. Yeah, they got. And they're on the road, too, right? Texans on the road?
It's in Arizona.
Texans have, on the road, I believe their average margin of loss, defeat on the road, has been 26 points.
Still Davis Mills?
Yeah, it is. They know Tyrod Taylor is getting, I mean, he's coming back around, but I think right now that Davis Mills was announced as the starting quarterback. And listen, they got J.J. Watt on the other side there. Chandler Jones is going to be back.
Hopkins. Oh, yeah, Jones was out with COVID.
Yeah,
he'll be back.
He'll be back. But you're right. They got you know, Hopkins. They got
some Texans guys that are going to take this seriously.
They got some Texans guys that are going to take this seriously. So they're going to beat the hell out of the Texans, man. They want to embarrass this organization because DeAndre Hopkins is a lot like that front office, and J.J. Watt doesn't either.
No.
Yeah, and they want them to look bad. And they should.
If you're a Texas fan, do you root for Iowa State, obviously? Because you try to get Oklahoma State that first loss in Big 12 play?
Yep, you're rooting for Iowa State.
Okay.
You need Oklahoma State to lose. So you need to muddy the waters. You need the Big 12 picture to become a little bit more convoluted.
As crazy as it sounds, you hope Oklahoma wins out. And
because
you're not going to catch Oklahoma, and you're not going to win that tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You want to play them again.
Yeah.
You hope Iowa State beats Oklahoma State. You go take
you
care of business.
State.
You can beat Iowa State, and you just muddy it up.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I agree with that. Strangely enough, you want Oklahoma undefeated when you play them again, if you get lucky enough to play them again in the Big 12 title game. Yeah. You don't want them hungry. I want
them fat and happy.
I want them fat and happy.
Fat and happy.
Really happy about themselves and what they've accomplished, and then Texas can pull the upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a long way to go till we get there, so Rod and I understand
that.
Oh,
no, trust me. You could easily
be
on
just playing it out here.
You could easily get on a four-game losing streak, potentially, if you're Texas. You got to play Baylor and then go to Iowa State. You're going to play two ranked opponents back-to-back on the road, and Steve Sarkisian is 12-23 as a head coach in true road games. Yeah, that's right. 12-23. I think he's 12-22 versus ranked opponents. And they both might end up being ranked. If Iowa State pulls the upset, they're going to be ranked when Texas plays them. They pulled the upset over Oklahoma State this week.
Baylor, I don't think Baylor is ranked, or are they?
Baylor's ranked.
Baylor's ranked, okay.
21st
they should be.
Like that.
They should be.
Yeah, Baylor's ranked.
The other thing, too, is that with all the teams that are dropping like flies, ranked teams that are getting beat, Baylor could be What happens is they could be 15 right. in the country.
You're right. They could be high by then. You're right. It's a great point. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. But some of the stats about Steve Sarkisian versus ranked opponents versus, you know, coaches who are 60% plus winning percentage, his true road record as a head coach does not bode well for the next 2 weeks for Texas.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
There's no argument there. Those are facts you're spitting.
Facts, right now.
And we hope the narrative gets changed.
he's got, that's what he's here for. To change the narrative.
And there's also other stuff. I think Steve Sarkisian is a much better just overall football coach than he was at Washington.
He also
took over an 0-11 program that was following Tyrone Willingham. So
very true.
Getting to 5 or 6 wins there was a pretty good job.
No, you're right about
we know that. He had his own personal issues at USC. And then you get the whole coaching rehab, I guess both rehabs set up for him. And so I think he's a different guy. I think that's why he made the hire. But those numbers are those numbers until you change them.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And I think he understands what he's got in front of him. He's got a more realistic view of what this roster is now.
Yeah.
I think for different reasons, he and PK were mis-evaluated this roster. And I think now he knows about the psychology of this roster now and the physical limitations of this roster now.
Yeah, the next head coach who comes in, just come talk to Uncle Kev.
Okay? Exactly.
I feel like this, like, 3 straight coaches in a row that I'm just saying, the talent's not as good as you think it is. Yes, it is. Okay.
All right. Good luck with that.
Show me, Stu. Let's do
good
it.
Good luck with that. Yeah, I think now he knows. Yeah, now he knows. So I think for Iowa State, though, that one thing that I'm looking for from Iowa State in this game is for Iowa State to be able to offensively get their stuff together. I think if they do that against the Oklahoma State defense, at least have some type of consistency, they'll be okay. All right. Let me tell you about my friends at ASCO Equipment just really quickly before we get out of here. ASCO Equipment, of course, in a number of different areas, they can help you out, whether it's agriculture, construction, oil and gas, local governments, landscaping, material handling. My friends at ASCO Equipment offer service for a number of products. All the products they sell, whether it's just routine maintenance or whether it's warranty service or equipment inspections, the ASCO Service Department has over 200 factory-trained certified technicians and 140 field service trucks with 24/7 service and support. They also have locations all over the great state of Texas, whether you need to buy, rent, purchase parts or service parts. ASCO wants to be the very first call when you have any equipment needs. So no matter whether you're digging, grading, or loading, ASCO has a full line of Case Construction equipment to help you get the job done right. 2 brands you can trust, Case Construction Parts and ASCO Equipment. That is a championship tag team. Visit ascoequipment.com. That's ascoeq.com, ascoeq.com. At ASCO, we're on it. Whatever it is, faster than the speed of our customers' needs.
Hey, we got sports tonight, man. You got the Astros Red Sox, which is clearly the highlighter, but we've got Memphis UCF, which is going on right now. That's on ESPN2. Colorado State, Utah State. I'm such a sicko. I'm going to watch that. You know what else I'm going to watch?
You are a sicko.
I know. I'm telling you, man. I am just an addict when it comes to college football. I can watch anything. I'm going to watch Washington, Arizona tonight.
You are. Yeah. You are sick.
Yes, sir.
I'm not watching Arizona.
Why? Arizona's, they haven't won a game yet, Rod.
I know. Exactly.
That's probably why.
And, that's probably why.
Anytime Washington is a 17.5-point favorite at 2-4, that kind of tells you what's going on with that.
I think I'd rather rewatch Texas, Oklahoma.
All right, that's just really, do we need
that's
that?
Just wrong, right?
That's just wrong. That's just wrong. Hey, good luck to your Astros, man. Seriously.
Appreciate it, brother.
Good luck. You guys can clinch tonight. All y'all that are heading down there or been listening, good luck. Get a W for the state and be safe. John, great job this week, man. We appreciate it. It's good to be in studio with you, right?
I know it.
You kind of missed this. I'm sure we're going to be back on the road a lot next week. We will obviously be getting you ready for Texas and Baylor. The Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, will be back in action. We'll recap all the stuff that we saw this weekend. For Rod, for John, I'm Kevin. We have Friday Flex. Friday football is coming up next. This is RBKD. We appreciate y'all listening this week. Have a great weekend. Peace.